Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Now presenting Community Voices with Ron Holland, only on Praise 100.9 and 92.7.
And a good morning to you. Welcome to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. There is a storied history of Africa that is all too often ignored during Black History Month. The giants of the civil rights movement are rightfully celebrated, and the focus on the achievements of African Americans is an appropriate part of the Black History Month celebration. But without Africa and our ties to what many in the African diaspora call the motherland, our history and journey is incomplete. Well, during Black History Month, we're going to explore the rich history and tradition of the motherland. So starting this morning, we present the first of our three-part series, The Movements and Voices of the African Diaspora. One of the best parts of my job as Director of Public Affairs is the opportunity to provide you with information you may or may not be aware of. I've had the pleasure of meeting and conversing with a number of prominent people, and I'm excited about sharing some of the information I've learned over the years and introducing you to individuals you may or may not have heard of. Before we move on, I want to strongly urge you to make an effort to purchase some of the books and material that I'll talk about during this three-part series, The Movements and Voices of the African Diaspora. It is vitally important that you do that. The names and movements that I'll introduce you to are an extremely valuable part of our history and community. So I want to strongly urge you, go out, purchase the books, read them for yourselves. The information is widely available, and I promise you, you will be richly served by the information. The late Dr. John Henry Clark was one of the most respected African-American historians in the Black community, especially amongst his colleagues in academia. Writer, historian, author, and Pan-Africanist, Dr. John Henry Clark blazed trails in the creation of African studies in a host of colleges and universities beginning in the 1960s. Dr. Clark, who was born on January 1st, 1915 in Union Springs, Alabama, was the founding chairman of the Department of Black and Puerto Rican Studies at Hunter College of the City University of New York. He was also the Carter G. Woodson Distinguished Visiting Professor of African History at Cornell University's Africana Studies and Research Center. Dr. Clark, along with the Black Caucus of the African Studies Association, founded the African Heritage Studies Association. Credentials aside, what allowed Dr. Clark to become a beloved figure in the African American community was his unapologetic love of African Americans and the entire African diaspora, and the storied history of a great people he and others felt was written out of the pages of the history books.
And to understand it, as 200 years of history, you're going to have to look at 1400 to 1600. It's the major turning point in world history. At the end of these 200 years, the world would never, ever be the same again. Europe had come out of its bag. It had rescued itself at our expense. It had learned longitude and latitude again, had learned how to handle ships. They had, in their search for Asia and the spices and the sweets of Asia, they had discovered Africa en route, the greater prize. They settled some of the arguments among themselves. 1415, Portugal won a minor war and took a small area in Morocco called Ceuta. Since 711, when the Africans and the Arabs had taken over Spain, Europe had lived in fear of the so-called hated infidel, the Arabs and Islam. But the military arm that held Spain for the Arabs, being basically Africa, Europe is going into its famine period after the drainage of its economics from the so-called Crusades. If you think that has something to do with holiness, you have misread history. The Crusades came about at a time the church was playing a con game on the people of Europe.
Dr. Clark was unabashedly supportive of the Black Power movement. He had a special fondness and reverence for Malcolm X and railed against the suppression and distortions of African history. Dr. Clark authored 6 scholarly books and wrote a bevy of scholarly articles that are still required reading for people interested in learning about African and world history. His lectures in the 70s, 80s, and 90s was always well attended. His admirers and detractors would listen intently and were duly inspired to learn more about the history of Africa and her peoples. I had the pleasure of being in attendance of a few of his lectures in Harlem and even had an opportunity to shake this great man's hand. Dr. John Henry Clark, professor, historian, lecturer, and pioneer, a giant in the annals of great Black voices. Dr. Ben Yosef Johakinen, affectionately known as Dr. Ben. There are but a few anthropologists that have garnered a great deal of love and admiration in the Black community. Dr. Ben ranks among one of the most respected, one of the most loved. Writer, historian, author, lecturer, anthropologist, Egyptologist, Dr. Ben is a major voice in African and world history and African studies. Dr. Ben was educated in Puerto Rico, Brazil, Cuba, and Spain. Among his academic accomplishments, he earned degrees in engineering and anthropology. He received doctoral degrees in cultural anthropology and Moorish history from the University of Havana and the University of Barcelona, Spain. In his books and lectures, Dr. Ben, whose father was an Ethiopian in a Falasha community, argues that the original Jews were Black and from Ethiopia. Dr. Ben is a strong proponent of encouraging African Americans to learn all they can about biblical history and its relationship to Africa, especially Egypt and Ethiopia.
But this, you see, is rough stuff. Because I'm dealing with things that you are not supposed to hear or deal with. Tomorrow there's going to be a question and answer period, and all who don't agree with it could ask their question and make their comment. They shouldn't wait till tomorrow when I'm gone and sneakily run and tell you, I knew better. They are called the Falashas, but you didn't hear anyone saying anything in America when the Italian fascists were exterminating the Falashas. Nobody said anything. And it was the forerunner to what Hitler was to come and do next. But there was no rallying cry about my people. We were 5 million when Hitler arrived, Mussolini arrived. With the help of the Pope, Pius XI, I think it was. When the Italians left, we were 50,000. But no cry. Isn't it strange that when you write and when you are taught, you hear only about a Holocaust, one. What happened to your Holocaust that's still going on? What happened to the 50 million Africans, your brothers and sisters, that were murdered in Monomotapa, now called South Africa, under Cecil John Rhodes? Do you know that Black folks take scholarship in honor of John Rhodes, Cecil John Rhodes? Because you don't know. Nobody told you who Rhodes was. Rhodes make Hitler look like a playboy. You don't know about the Holocaust with Frederick Lugard and Dr. Jemison in what is today called Nigeria, with Goldie and others when they took over the colony. You don't know about the Holocaust with Leopold II, the Vanderbilts and the Pews and the others, the Rockefellers and so forth, when they took over what was called Manicongo in those days and changed it to the Congo Free State. How many millions? 22 million were exterminated. African women pregnant were placed in the middle of roads and tree limbs put to both arms. then cut with the horses and split them open and the babies fell out as punishment that the men would see it. These are records. They themselves wrote, not realizing that Africans will come later to revenge these causes. But that isn't mentioned as Holocaust in any of your textbooks. Because it was only Africans being exterminated.
Dr. Ben authored 49 books. 49. The main thrust of his work is on the ancient Nile Valley civilization, and according to Wikipedia, Dr. Ben is said to have donated his personal library of more than 35,000 volumes, manuscripts, and ancient scrolls to the Nation of Islam. He's lectured all over the world and is a prominent voice and beloved figure in Harlem, New York. He's made numerous television appearances alongside Dr. John Henry Clark, Ivan Van Sertima, who is also featured in this broadcast, and other prominent African and African-American historians. I've had an opportunity to sit in on a few lectures given by Dr. Ben in Harlem and in my hometown of Asbury Park and Neptune. Dr. Ben, prolific writer, lecturer, champion of African and world history, and a staunch advocate for freedom of the mind, body, and spirit in the African-American community. He is among the giants that stands tall in the black community and in the annals of great black voices. One of the most widely read books by people serious about learning African and African American history is entitled They Came Before Columbus, authored by another giant in academia and African studies, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. Born in Guyana and prolific in Swahili and Hungarian, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima was an associate professor of Africana studies at Rutgers University. He worked as a journalist, broadcaster in the Guyana Information Services. A major thrust of Dr. Ivan Van Sertima's work entailed the African origins of Mesoamerican culture in the Western Hemisphere. According to Wikipedia, a major concentration of his work centered on the various dynastic periods in Egypt, specifically the 25th dynasty, where he argues were Nubians. Professor Van Sertima is unyielding when it comes to the history of how Africans navigated great bodies of water to travel great distances beyond the shores of Africa, hundreds, perhaps thousands of years before the slave trade.
We have discovered three currents of Africa that take you automatically to America. There's one up the Cape Verde, one up the Senegambia coast, one up the southern coast of Africa. Once you are caught in those currents, you have to come to America unless the fish get you first. Whether you have an engine or not, that the water is the engine. It's very powerful. And it's exactly where those currents end that we find the African presence. It goes to Mexico. It goes into other parts of America. It goes to Brazil. They recently found, listen to this, look at the lies involved here. They recently found an African Negro woman, I say Negro because not all blacks are Negro. The African has six faces. For example, if you're in a dry African climate, you have a narrow nose. If you're in a wet or moist African climate, you have a broad nose. Most people don't know that. They don't know they have six types of African. They're the Nilotic type. They're all black, but they have the Nilotic type, the so-called true Negro type, all sorts of types they have. And I have in my new book the faces of the various types. And all of these types appear. But what is most extraordinary is the evidence we have of their ships. They had the ships. Thor Heyerdahl became world famous because he got the Baduma people on Lake Chad to build a boat that the Africans built before Christ. Thor Heyerdahl used the boat the Africans built before Christ. They showed him the model. They built the boat. He financed it. A boat they were using before Christ, and it crossed the Atlantic successfully.
The progenitors of mathematics, astronomy, navigation, medicine, writing, and other sciences are the Africans. More specifically, the Egyptians played a huge role in developing these systems, argues Van Sertima. His essays and journal writings on these particular issues makes him one of the most important voices and a giant in the annals of great Black voices. One of my most cherished books is The Destruction of Black Civilization, Great Issues of Race from 4500 BC to 2000 AD. Here's an excerpt from page 122, The Children of the Sun. Quote, "For one thing, the land of the south of Egypt had developed a strong economy that was continuously enriched by a thriving export trade in paper from papyrus. Ivory, gold, ebony, emeralds, copper, incense, ostrich feathers, always greatly in demand, and its famous decorated earthenware. A strong economy also meant a strong Ethiopian army, posing a threat even to an African-ruled Egypt. From the Egyptian viewpoint, the land of the blacks was a threefold threat. Historically, the blacks who had fled below the first cataract to escape the various conquests never seemed to accept those conquests as final, and an attempt to retake Egypt from time to time. These repetitions are deliberate because nowhere in history is this very important fact clearly stated, but it is clear that having reconquered the Asian-dominated Lower Egypt, the black pharaoh sought integration with the Asians instead of driving them out of the country. This policy of moderation and accommodation was apparently anathema to the extremist Ethiopians, proud blacks, for whom the prospects of having their children come into the world with a color distinctly different from their own was at once an insult to their watching ancestors and an offense to the gods themselves." End quote. The book, Destruction of Black Civilization, is replete with the storied history of African empires, war and conflict, life along the Nile Valley, and the invasions of the continent and conquests by the Portuguese, Arab herds under the banner of Islam, and some of the greatest migrations and imperial rulerships by foreign countries. The author of the book, the late Dr. Chancellor Williams. Born in 1893 in Bentonville, South Carolina, Chancellor Williams, the son of a former slave, is perhaps one of the most cherished figures in African studies and black academia. His book, Destruction of Black Civilization, received wide acclaim by the black community for its detailed history of invasions and conquests of various empires in Africa, especially by Arabs under the banner of Islam. Dr. Williams was an unapologetic advocate of exposing the different cultures that pillaged and raped and carved up the continent of Africa for themselves.
"We do not have the same respect for members of our race as we do for some other race, especially the white race. And that we were told, quite to the contrary, that we were from a land of savages, of cannibals. And except by the grace of God and the white man, we would have been a lost people. So we should be on our knees forever praying and thanking God that we were brought, even in slavery, to this land to escape the horrors of Africa. And this was brought in and drilled into us generation after generation." Now, of course, the record was there to show that much of Western civilization was built upon the foundation of the land where civilization itself had begun, and this was in Africa. Therefore, the focus had to be on Africa to see to what extent the recent revelation with the turn of the century, at the turn of the century, that Africa was the cradle of civilization. To what extent could this be actually verified? And so my work was directed in the uncovering much of what had been lost, much of what had been disguised, much of what had been stolen, refurbished, reworked, and presented to Western civilization as the work brought from Africa but presented to Western civilization as the creation of Western man.
Chancellor Williams made it his lifelong mission to ensure that African Americans understood there was a history of the African people beyond the horrors of slavery, from the great empires of Ethiopia, Egypt, and Sudan, to the valiant struggles to fight off conquest and colonial rule. The history of the people of Africa and their contribution to the world is an important story we must all appreciate. Chancellor Williams, provocative, unapologetic, and a champion of the African diaspora. One of the most important books in the library of any student of African history is The African Origin of Civilization, Myth or Reality by Sheikh Anta Diop. Here's an excerpt from Chapter 7, Arguments Supporting a Negro Origin. Quote, the Egyptians practiced circumcision as early as prehistoric times. They transmitted this practice to the Semitic world in general, Jews and Arabs, especially to those whom Herodotus called Syrians. To show that the Colossians were Egyptians, Herodotus cited these two indications. Quote, my own conjectures were founded first on the fact that they are black-skinned and have woolly hair, which certainly amounts to but little, since several other nations are so too, but further and more especially on the circumstance that the Colossians, the Egyptians, and the Ethiopians are the only nations who have practiced circumcision from the earliest times. The Phoenicians and the Syrians of Palestine themselves confess that they learned the custom of the Egyptians and the Syrians who dwell about the rivers of the Jordan and Parthenius, as well as their neighbors, the Macronians, say that they have recently adopted it from the Colossians. Now these are the only nations who use circumcision, and it is plain that they all imitate herein the Egyptians. End quote. The credentials of Sheikh Anta Diop are vast. He is perhaps the most respected of historians and anthropologists in all circles of academia, but especially and more importantly among his African and African-American peers. According to Wikipedia, Diop was born in French Senegal into an aristocratic Muslim Wolof family where he was educated in a traditional Islamic school. His family, according to Diop, was part of the Morud Brotherhood, the only independent Muslim group in Africa. He's disciplined in rationalism, dialectics, modern scientific techniques, prehistoric archaeology, but his groundbreaking work was in the books that he published. Among them are Black Africa, The Economic and Cultural Basis for a Federated State, Nations Negras et Culture, and The Evolution of the Negro World. But to many African Americans, Diop's African Origin of Civilization inspired so many to delve into the rich history of the origins of the African people and their contributions to civilization. Diop maintains in this most important and critical work that the archaeological and the anthropological is replete with evidence that the pharaohs of Egypt were of Negro origin, and that life sprang in the cradle of civilization, and that is in Africa.
Aujourd'hui, la science sait de façon sûre que l'humanité a pris naissance en Afrique, sous la latitude du Kenya, dans cette région qui est à cheval sur le Kenya, l'Éthiopie et la Tanzanie.
We are able to say scientifically today to say with certainty that mankind was born in Africa on the latitude more or less of Kenya, and that area which comprises Kenya,
Éthiopie,
Ethiopia,
Tanzania,
and Tanzania.
Et qui va même jusqu'en Afrique du Sud, and, suivant un axe nord-sud.
And going on a north-south axis all the way south to South Africa.
Sheikh Anta Diop, physicist, anthropologist, linguist, historian, and beloved figure in the rich history of African and African-American voices. A giant who was sought after by even other giants who tell the glorious story of Africa and her peoples. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with your host, Ron Holland. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. I hope you enjoyed our first installment of the movement and voices of the African diaspora. Some of the information in today's broadcast is widely available in books, journals, magazines, and internet sites like Wikipedia. The interview audio clips are from archived PBS television broadcast, Tony Brown's Journal, and Like It Is, which was hosted by the late Gil Noble. Next week, we are going to explore the liberation movements that swept across Africa and America. From the Mau Mau movement to the Black Panther Party, we're going to explore the radical approaches toward freedom. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. We will talk with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Community Voices with Ron Holland. For more information, log on to PrayCharlotte.com.